if we get fooled by Jennifer on line one, if I say she's got the crappy job and she, in fact, doesn't, she wins all the concert tickets.
So all it takes is one vote. If you're one of the five imposters and you get one vote from any of us, you're going to win the prize back.
And furthermore, if you are the person with the crappy job and no one selects you,
right,
not only do you get all the tickets, we will give you $100 as well.
There you go.
You can't lose.
But if you get one vote, you're SOL.
Now, Rob, I think that we have a bunch of people on the line, so as we go to break, I'll need a timpani.
Yes, you can, have to find out what the profession is.
If you can tell us what the job is, and Mike, Buzz, and I can consider our questions that we will ask our To Tell the Truth contestants. So, Rob, now, please tell us.
But it is someone in the sanitation field from the Eastern Shore whose main job is to deal with toilets that get plugged in the summer because of an overabundance of corn.
There's a little
more. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that's how I was explaining.
Jeez.
I don't know.
Well told.
So, Lisa, can I get you something to drink?
Hi,
yes,
Lisa.
Please, Cosmopolitan. Hi. He skims the top of the sewage for the corn.
He or she, I should say.
Well.
Oh, that's all guys. All right, yeah. He.
Skims the top of the big vats of the stuff.
The raw sewage.
Right. Gets the corn out so that the sewage can be flushed easy. And this is overtime job in the summer. They get paid overtime for this because there's an abundance of people at the Eastern Shore who eat corn.
Okay. All right. That's a good job.
That's a fantastic job.
So let me see if I got it straight.
That's fantastic.
Where we go to break and we'll come back and play.
Works at the same kind of place as your ex-wife.
Yeah. Sanitation company.
There you go.
So the person who has the job is as follows. He works in raw sewage, and his job is to
skim the corn off so that the sewage can be processed.
Corn skimmer.
A sewage skimmer, yeah.
Not only is this a great To Tell the Truth, but it will be fascinating to continue the interview process.
After we get the winner.
After we get the winner.
All right, so.
Wow.
I think we're loaded up. There might be a line open. No, you know what? Forget it.
He picks the corn out of other people's ass.
All of the lines are on hold, which means...
Fascinating.
We've got one person who really has the job and five imposters.
I like this.
We will get to your calls and find out who is the man with the job...
Of corn skimmer.
Of raw sewage. When we come right back. See, now, it was a long way to go.
It was a long way, but, you know,
the trip.
The game is about one thing, Don. It's about the profession, and we hit a home run with the profession.
We sure did. And, you know, everybody gets a chance to win, so stay right there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It was a celebration tinged with controversy for Jerry Seinfeld last night in New York as hecklers and protesters went shoulder to shoulder with Jerry's fans for an evening full of surprises.
It was really exciting. Really, really exciting. It was like being in a Roman Colosseum.
Jerry stepped up to the mic for his live HBO show in New York last night, wowing his audience. The stand-up did run into one problem, though. He was taunted by hecklers.
It was terrifying. I was not expecting that. I didn't understand you, sir. Right the first time. I'm thinking, oh, beautiful. This is perfect. But it worked out fine.
The Don and Mike Show.
I've had it up to here with the likes of you people.
Round, round, get around, I get around.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, let's get to it. I'm going to play the big lie. Once again, just to make sure I have the job correct, Mike.
To tell the truth, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the big lie is tomorrow.
Right.
I'm sorry, just reading what was in front of me. To tell the truth, to make sure that I'm clear and everybody's clear.
Okay.
What is your understanding of the job?
The job is this individual works at a sewage treatment plant, and his specific job is skimming the top of the raw sewage for corn particles so that the sewage can be processed more effectively.
Okay, we have six contestants. We will each ask one question of each contestant.
All right.
And then we will decide, each of us, who we think is telling the truth.
Very good.
Who has this awful job.
Excellent.
Let's start with Steve. Hello, Steve.
Yes.
Steve, you're on the air.
Well, my pleasure.
And let's see. The first question I would have for you is, how did you get this job, being the corn screener?
Well, my uncle knows somebody who works down there, and they were looking for some people, and he knows I go to school, and I was looking for some summer work, so I was a good candidate.
All right, Mike?
Steve, can you describe briefly the layout of the plant and how the sewage is treated?
Well, there's various basins, and there's actually there's three different basins, all which do the same thing. So I'm one of three guys that works at one time, and after I skim the corn, it goes off to another area, and the same with the other three people that work at the same time as me.
Buzz.
Steve, what kind of tool do you use to skim the sewage?
It's sort of like what you use when you're skimming like bugs out of a pool, only it's a little more coarse to allow more things to flow through, and it's larger.
Thank you, Steve.
Very good.
Here is our second contestant. Let's say hello to Randy. Hey, Randy.
Hey,
Randy.
Yes, sir.
Tell me something. What is the worst thing that has happened to you during the course of your job?
What happens is they bring all the porta-sands over to the Waste Disposal Treatment Center up at Queen Anne County, and they dump them all into these giant, like, silos, and there's this sort of a thing that scrapes across the top and brings everything over to one end, and then it's dumped into another receptacle, and then we get rid of it. And once when they were bringing in the porta-sands, I saw my buddy get the whole thing dumped right on top of him.
Okay, Mike.
Randy, what is your specific title? What is the title of your job? Do you have a formal title?
Sir, just waste management. In the summertime, because see, this is just overtime work. Generally, I just bring in the porta-sands and dump those out, go out, pick up more porta-sands, bring them back. But in the summertime, when we got this specific problem, and it ain't just corn. I mean, there's all kinds of other stuff that come around the Eastern Shore when summertime comes around. So I would imagine, you know, they just call me the unlucky guy, low man on the totem pole.
All right. Gotcha, Buzz.
Okay. Randy, let me ask you this. How do you keep from throwing up? How do you keep from throwing up while you're doing your job?
We got masks.
All right. All right. Thank you. Hold on, please. Randy. Here is our third contestant. His name is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Mike, let me ask you. How much do you make for being the corn... What's the word I'm using here?
Skimmer.
The corn
skimmer.
The corn skimmer with raw sewage. How much you make?
Oh, well, I make an hourly rate for working for the MUA. I make $10.50 an hour, but they give you overtime, and you know, towards the 4th of July, you can actually get triple time.
And that would be because people eat so much more corn?
No, listen, it's not funny. If you guys would understand it, if people would even just eat a half a cob of corn during, like, the 4th of July period, I mean, these charcoal filters, they cost a lot. A lot, and every time we have to shut down the pumps... We have to, it kind of backs up the whole system to clean the screens, and that guy's funny. It don't go to those silos. It goes into receptacles, and then it's treated with lime and buried.
All right.
And you're in your local landfill, so that it doesn't go in silos.
All right, thank you, Mike.
You mentioned that it's buried, so this doesn't turn into waste water.
No, it's biodegradable. Once you put it with, you know, with lime, it just disintegrates in the ground. It's gone.
All right.
But you have to understand, these pumps, they're very expensive, and during the peak, you know, 4th of July holiday area, we can go through about 12 pumps, because you have, and they're called skims, by the way. That's what they're called.
They're called skims.
That's our official title. They don't work for the MUA, you know, but this is like overtime work. It's kind of like if you were a police officer.
All right. We got it. Thank you. Buzz.
Mike, besides corn, what are two or three of the most unusual things you've skimmed out of the sewage?
Well, the pools, which are called, I mean, you can refer to them as reservoirs. We call them tidal pools because every, you know, once in a while, you can see something riding a wave. You don't know what it is, but you skim it out because if it's larger. And you see, the things that are in there, they pass through and they're macerated and through the filters. But the corn, there's so much of it. There's over hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pounds of corn that goes through there for summer. and it just it breaks the actuators, the pumps. And so it has to be skinned out at least 80% of it.
All right.
You're never going to get all of it.
All right, thank you. Hold on a second. Let's meet our fourth contestant on To Tell the Truth.
I'd love to tell the truth because we're all looking at each other after Mike, you know, thinking Mike was just a little overeager.
But again, but
you never know.
That could be a strategy.
That could be a strategy.
Let's say hi to Dave. Dave, buddy.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, Dave. You tell me what you do.
I skim the corn. It's the worst job in the world during the summer. Regular, any other time of the year, not a lot of corn on the cob eaten. So, you know, you're talking your cream corns, and that's not so bad. But during the summer, all the cookouts, it's just a horrible thing. I am a skimmer at a sewage plant, and the corn is probably the most unusual thing that I have to skim.
Okay, Mike.
Dave, why corn? We've heard so much talk about corn, but is really the problem during the summer, is this a specific issue that you are skimming looking because of the abundance of corn that's in the sewage?
It's just the funniest thing. I mean, it's just the one thing that stands out other than gum that doesn't really, you know, it's not as biodegradable.
Right. Okay, you know, good answer.
You know what?
Yeah.
I was thinking this guy might be full of ass, but right. Maybe I'm not now.
Yeah, pretty good.
Buzz.
Dave, because of your job, have you just stopped eating corn altogether?
Well, my buddy's actually at the plant. My birthday was 3 weeks ago, and they actually, for a birthday present, gave me a plate of corn. Thought it was funny.
You know, that's not true. That's a good story.
Newer used, yeah.
Thought it was funny. I gave him all a finger.
All right, thank you. Hold on a second. Let's go to guy number five, Cliff.
Hi.
Cliff. So you obviously, this job is somewhere on the Eastern Shore?
Right.
What's the name of the baseball stadium that the Orioles minor league team plays in?
Oh, geez, I just got the job this summer, and I moved here from Ohio.
Thank you.
Okay.
Cliff, what type of sanitation process goes on? I mean, as far as cleaning up or preparing yourself, to leave the plant? Yeah. What do you have to go through?
Well, there's nothing to prepare for it unless you don't want to take a shower that morning. But when you do the job, you get it splashed up on you quite a bit. And, of course, they give us coveralls and masks. But at the end of the shift, they allow you to shower at the facility, which I generally do. Some of the guys don't. They just go home.
Right.
But I shower at the facility, and you never really get the smell off you. I mean, I would hope by winter, once the summer's over, that maybe by then the smell will be gone, but it always lingers with you.
Well, Cliff, we're very proud of you.
Good job. Buzz.
Cliff, what's the trade name, I guess, for the device that actually does the skimming, or the tool that you use to skim with?
Well, there's no trade name on the tool itself. Uh-huh. They're like oversized pool skimmers that you would use. The holes are slightly larger to pick up the corn, but there's no trade name on those tools. They just come from city maintenance, city property.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Hold on. Now, I have an update that whoever the guy was on line six, he has been deemed, and that would be Justin, he has been deemed unworthy.
Unworthy. Ah. So we're just going to go with one real job and four imposters.
Correct. So, now you also, the home viewer, the home listener, you've heard this, and you can play along at home. The five guys are Steve, Randy, Mike, Dave, and Cliff. I'm ready with my vote.
So am I.
I believe the guy who has the job is guy number two, Randy. Mike.
I base this on what I perceive to be a guy that was trying to appear like he didn't know what was going on. And that guy, more than anybody else to me, was Steve. So I'm going to vote for Steve.
And Buzz.
I thought Steve was good, but I agree with Don. I think Randy has the job of corn skimmer.
All right, and now we get to the real fun part of the show. We'll start with the other guys, not the guys that were selected.
Good.
Let's go to guy number five. Cliff.
Hi.
Cliff, do you have the job?
No.
Cliff is not the sewage skimmer.
You do not win. Thank you for playing, Cliff.
I had fun. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Guy number four got no votes. Dave, do you have the job?
I suck. No.
No.
Dave is not the sewage skimmer.
Sorry. Guy number three who got no votes. Mike, do you have the job?
Nope.
Yeah, Mike was the enthusiastic guy. Yes. We all figured that for a scam.
So
which means that You know, we're going to have either a guy that... this is exciting because we've got one of the two guys.
We nailed him.
Got him cornered.
We nailed him.
What?
What, Lisa?
What, come on, what, Lisa?
What's going on?
What happened, Lisa? What?
Mike on line three was the one who told me he had the job.
You're kidding me.
Now let me go get his number.
You're kidding me. You're kidding me. Only on this show.
Jesus Christ.
Only on this show. Only on this show.
Unbelievable. This might be part of his strategy, though. He's faking you
what
out.
What the hell is the deal here?
Let me go.
What is another, the deal here?
No cheating.
Let's go to Randy, who got the vote from myself and Buzz. Randy?
Oh, yes, you guys. Hell no, I don't do that.
All right, hold on, Randy. Right. You're a winner, then.
Good job, hold on,
you're a winner. And let's go to Steve, the guy who Mike selected. Steve, do you have the job?
This is Steve. No, I do not have a job.
All right, Steve, you're a winner as well.
You're a winner.
Hold on a second. Now, Lisa is going to
put this idiot on the phone.
Trying to get Mike back on the line.
Because
he doesn't realize, he doesn't realize he's won.
Apparently not.
He's won because he fooled us.
Like where your job was?
I don't understand the breakdown of communication. We asked for crazy jobs. We got one guy with a crazy job. We put him on hold.
What is he saying now?
Can we talk to him?
Hold on.
You ask him straight out if that was his job. He said no.
He's on line six. Hey, Mike.
Mike, what's the deal? We called asking for weird jobs. You called and said you were a sewage skimmer, correct?
Correct, but you said that it was an imposter job. That's why I called.
Oh, my God.
Wait, you mean you made the job?
Listen, I don't mean to make the radio station look bad. You guys got a good show. It's a funny story.
No,
you mean you got a short.
Wait a minute,
he had the actual job. I couldn't believe it when he told me.
Hold it. We didn't call. We said if you have an unusual job, you're not a good listener.
So you don't really have that job.
Well, I have it starting this summer.
What?
I have it starting this summer. It starts up in June 25th.
Then you do have the job.
Yeah, but I'm not doing it right now. I work.
Started again.
Wait, what is going? What the hell is going on here?
Have you done the job before?
Yes.
Ah. And
so
you'll do the job again.
When we called and you heard us on the radio say, "Call us if you have a weird job,
unusual job."
That's why you called.
Well, I thought since I'm not actually doing it yet, I haven't started yet.
Wait a minute. No. Why did you call? I'm asking you a very specific question. Why did you call when we said we're asking for somebody with a weird job? You obviously called then to say, I skim sewage.
I skim.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, you know, if I was to call and I'm not doing it now, I mean, you know, am I disqualified or something? Or?
Well, hold on. Listen,
you know, I'll tell you right now.
I'm just trying to make you guys laugh, man. That's all.
No, I do believe this guy has the job. This is the only thing this man's qualified for.
So do I. So you've had the job in previous years. Or year. Right? How long have you done this? How many summers have you done this?
Well, I mean, you know, am I going to get in trouble if I haven't done it in more than one summer?
No, just be honest.
No.
No, if you... What do you mean in trouble? Do you understand the concept of what we're doing today?
You can...
Oh, well, see, it's kind of confusing when you guys explained. I didn't know if you were looking for someone to just call to say, you know, they've done the job or not, you know.
There's nothing confusing about the truth. Just tell the truth. Have you done the job before?
Am I disqualified?
Have you done the job before?
Am I disqualified?
Have you done the job before?
No, absolutely not. What, do you think I'm crazy?
Then, yeah, you're disqualified.
That ain't right, man.
Well, you wouldn't win. You wouldn't
win. That ain't right. Come on. You guys got a radio show. Just trying to make you laugh, man. It's a brilliant idea.
No, you're lying. See, the deal was...
You screwed it up.
The deal was...
I did it for a week, and that's it. I figured you're not going to count that. I quit, man. I did it. You just quit, too.
So you have done it before.
My cousin brought me down and said, you know, you're out of work right now.
You know what?
So you find something else over the summer. It's good overtime pay.
Listen, Sheriff, I'm really sorry to have awoken you from your slumber, but it's over. Hands are tied now. You shut me down.
I offered you a chance when we could have done something, and you blew it.
You blew it. All you had to do.
Lisa, you are in no way at fault on this.
No.
No one could have deciphered this idiot.
Hey, nice clock, though. Nice clock I'm hearing.
Turn your radio down. Idiot Mike, turn your radio down.
So you lied to us. You don't have the job.
But then he said he did it for a week. So technically he did,
but I don't believe him.
Then he also said that his friend had the job.
Right.
I heard him, I overheard him talking over you guys saying.
And he also said, I was just trying to make you guys laugh.
And add to that tapestry that he's going to start the job on June 21st.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to go to the sewage treatment plant. Or are you lying about the whole thing, Mike?
Mike?
Hello?
Mike, are you lying about the whole thing?
Hello?
Mike?
Oh, yes.
Are you lying?
I'm sorry, I thought you put me on hold again.
Are you lying about the whole thing?
No, it's an actual job.
Where do you live, Mike?
I live up in South Jersey.
Hmm. And you work on Maryland's Eastern Shore?
No, this is the Jersey Eastern Shore. Who told you Maryland?
Because someone said it's on the Eastern Shore of Maryland.
Jersey Shore. I'm sure Maryland does it, too.
Yeah. No, and when we came in here, Lisa, you said it's because he works on the corn on the Eastern Shore of Maryland during the summer.
I don't doubt that it happens in New Jersey, but I think, you know, yeah, you just... He's lying to us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure what you're trying to accomplish.
I mean, I think,
outside of screwing up the show.
I think you were trying to be funny, but we weren't looking for someone.
We were looking for a legitimate, weird, like, horrible job, which this would have been perfect for. If in fact, what is going on in the background? Do you work at a car wash?
It's a clock.
No. It's an actual door opening, coming back and forth. It's just the sound that the door makes. But no, I'm saying it is an actual job. I'm not trying to make a fool out of the show. I mean, it's a good show. I just, you know, you said a horrible job, and I thought I'd call, and I didn't understand exactly what you said.
Well, I will tell you.
Postures.
Hold on. Shut up for a second.
Hold on.
I will tell you, if you have actually done this job.
I have actually done it.
It's horrible. Even for a week, then technically.
Oh, no.
Technically, he has.
No.
Done it. Well, no, he has to be punished anyway.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve any prizes whatsoever.
That's not right, guys.
That is totally right, because you're just... I believe that you've done the job now, because you're telling me that. You're not lying about that?
Well, why are you guys disqualifying me? I don't understand the concept.
Hold on. Maybe I'll reverse my judgment here.
Well, I'm just saying, I've got to be convincing. They were very good and everything.
God.
You know,
answer. God almighty, you are a dumbass.
Answer the question. Yes. Have you ever actually had that job?
Yes, but I could not take it. They make you wear a charcoal filter mask. See? It's like, you know, it looks like you look like a big fly.
So you quit?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
But you actually did do it at one time?
Yes. My cousin worked there, he got me, and my friend already did it, and he quit, too.
What's the name of the place?
It's just the MUA. It's Cayman County MUA, and it's just their sewage treatment plant. That's all it is.
All right, so and now you say you're going to do it again this summer?
I'm not that hard up.
You said
I'm going to try not to.
Oh, you're going to try not to. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, listen. I believe you were correct in your initial assessment.
Mm-hmm.
The guy has had the job.
Yeah, he's had the job.
I do believe that he is the type of guy who is uniquely qualified for the job.
Yeah, he is a horrible communicator, but he's had the job.
We therefore will award you, Mike, $100 and tickets to see Moby, Busta Rhymes, David Bowie, the Area 2 Festival, Tom Petty tickets with Brian Setzer, Leonard Kravitz and Pink, and the Scorpions and Deep Purple. You win it all.
Yeah, I ain't never won that much at one time.
There you go. Thank you.
I haven't seen any concerts ever.
All right, hold on a second. And let me go to the two guys who actually understood the game.
Would it be cruel of me to hope that something happens to him at the concert?
Let's go to Randy, who was fooled by both Buzz and me.
Randy fooled both
of you.
Randy, what do you really do for a living?
Believe it or not, I drive around pap tests for a medical lab. I go from GYN's offices back to my lab with results and specimens.
A lot of guys that do that listen to the show.
All right, Randy.
I've called in before. I mean, it may be cervical cells to y'all, but it's my bread and butter.
Very good.
Hey, Randy, again, you and the Area 2 Festival tickets. Enjoy David Bowie, Moby, Busta Rhymes, also Tom Petty, Lenny Kravitz, Pink, Scorpions, and Deep Purple. Thank you. Hold on a second, and let's go to Steve, who fooled Mike. Hello, Steve.
Hey, guys. Thanks, Mike.
No problem, Steve. I thought you were kind of low-key in it, and that was a good strategy on your part.
I was trying to sound like a real dumbass.
What do you... What do you actually do for a living, Steve?
I'm a service advisor at a Cadillac dealership.
There you go. Wow. All right, let's give them all a round of applause.
Good job.
Amen.
I mean, a game that really normally should have no wrinkles in it whatsoever. It should just be zooming ahead. Mike had issues. Mike's got some serious communication issues.
Oh, so Steve, listen, you're going to go see David Bowie, Moby, Busta Rhymes at Area 2. Also see Tom Petty. You'll also see Lenny Kravitz with Pink. And you'll also see the Scorpions in Deep Purple. And thank you, my friend.
Kravitz is going to get me a 5-star BJ for my wife.
There you go.
All right. That's, out of all those, that's the one I'd go to.
Fantastic.
That's it. Jesus Christ. So that, that will end this edition of...
And Don, I gotta tell you though, going with like 5 or 6 guys made the game better. Even with Mike.
Yeah, even with Mike.
Reach through the phone.
All right, let's see. Hold on. I know we have lots of calls about this. Hello, Don, on my show.
Hey, I have a crappy job. I'm a DA who calls radio stations, can't understand a simple game.
Thank you. Hello. Don, on my show. Hello. Hello.
A lot of people calling in with their reviews of Mike.
Yup. Yeah, I'm sorry. You got to be there when I pick up the phone, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike.
Do you like to say hi to Don and Mike?
You're talking to us.
Oh, I'm talking to you.
Thank you for saying hi.
Say hi to Mike for us.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, those guys just got fooled by that Mike guy. There's no skimmer at a water treatment plant. First of all,
let me tell you that those guys aren't as stupid as you think.
No,
because you're talking to those guys now.
Yeah, and it's not a water treatment plant; it's a sewage treatment plant.
Right.
Now, do you have experience working at a sewage treatment plant?
Yes.
Because I would be more than willing to entertain conspiracy theories about Mike, because I too have my crap detector, pardon the pun, going off about Mike. I think Mike might be making the whole thing up.
Yeah, but we got to have some substantial proof.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the thing, when you asked him what was the name of the sewage treatment plant,
right?
He just said MUA. Every treatment plant has a name. It's usually named after some muckety muck from the county. It's not just the MUA.
That is the basis of your argument. I'd throw that out. I'd say that throughout America,
that would not convict.
We need more.
There's no way that could convict.
No, I understand that. Also, he changed his mind about 7 times.
Yes, he did.
We're aware of that.
That is good evidence right there.
But that also just falls under the DA category.
You can't convict, Don. I mean, it's guilty until proven innocent.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, why are you picking up poor Aunt Connie over there? It's tough working at the sewers.
Aunt Connie. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I want to complain.
Yeah, of course you do.
Why?
Yeah, I don't think that guy was real.
Yeah,
is this the how you doing guy?
No,
this is the today after is the day after Tuesday.
No, Joe's a dumbass.
Joe's a dumbass.
Okay, is the Joe's a dumbass guy?
Yeah, Joe's a dumbass.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
You Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going? I'm going to actually that concert, so I'm going to kill him for you guys.
All right, thank you. Let's end it. That was a nice exercise.
It was.
Someday we'll bring that bit back. We got a break, because there's something we always do on Wednesdays, and we'll get to that in just a moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't know. I only know that that's why I have said repeatedly that I want to find out. I want to get to the bottom of this and find out all that has happened. And so far, I've told you all that I know. And you know, the truth of the matter is, for quite some long time, all that you knew was what I told you.
And the Don and Mike Show.
For being human, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Not to mention the concert tickets that we gave away.
Yeah.
Some of the concerts, Area 2's at Nissan Pavilion, July 28th. Tickets available on sale at Ticketmaster locations.
Hello,
Ticketmaster.com. Lenny Kravitz at Pink, Nissan Pavilion.
All right.
Tickets on sale, same deal. Ticketmaster.com or CC.com. Courtesy of the Miller Lite Concert Series. grab a Miller, It's Miller Time, and some penny tickets. All right, Nissan Pavilion. Charged by phone or online at Ticketmaster.com or CC.com.
Very good.
All right, I think what we need probably at this point is simply... what's that, that, like, Casey Kasem thing we have?
Oh, the top 10 music?
Yeah. And have you worked out the math yet?
Working on it right now.
All right. Rob is working on something.
Very good.
And while Rob is working on that, let me tell you that it is a Wednesday.
Wednesday.
And that means it's Craig Wilson Day. And it's too bad that we were not on last week.
Yeah.
Last week he had an all-star column.
Yeah, I mean, that's the mother of all columns.
And what we're doing is we're going to put that one under glass.
Very good, and use it for a rainy day.
Yeah, and the next time he has a column that's really awful,
uh-huh.
we're going to pull out the one from last week.
Very good.
Because that's how good it is. But as you know on the show, it is our want on Wednesdays. You got it, Rob?
They're working on it.
I thought you were the smartest guy in this room.
Well, that's not necessarily the case.
Are you using a calculator?
Yeah, I want to make sure I get it right.
Oh, come on.
Job worth doing right.
Not on this show.
Hey, a little sloppiness is okay once in a while.
Give me a ballpark.
I got 273. What is today's date?
Today is June 12th.
June 12th.
So that's 273 plus 28 plus about 180.
Okay.
You mean after all this time you're going to give us a rough estimate?
What is it?
481, I think.
No. Yeah.
It's about
right.
Yeah,
because, you figure 365 plus,
yeah.
Right?
Right, so. If you are playing the Dynamite Lottery, today your winning number is 481.
481, I got it. We'll explain the significance later.
If you are playing the Dynamite Lottery,
the number today is 481.
Excuse me, 481. But yeah, we should really do it like
481.
With the balls coming down.
And you know who knows? Tomorrow it might be 480.
Yeah, because it could be, it could be less depending on whoever's doing the math here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it might be changed, but we think it's 481, and tomorrow will be 480.
Ideally, that would be the way it would go.
Amen.
So once again, if you're playing the Dynamite Lottery, get your tickets out now. Mike, the winning number today is
481.
481. If you got that, you're a big winner.
Bingo. 481.
All right. Craig Wilson time, and here we go. This is from today's USA Today. Let's roll. The final word. By Craig Wilson.
Girls in white make the future seem bright.
I went to a wedding a couple of Saturdays ago. A nice affair. The bride wore white. The groom did not. And after the ceremony, the couple rode off down the lane in a horse-drawn carriage.
Teardrops.
The rest of us retired to the back lawn for cocktails, kicking off a reception that went on until the wee hours of the morning. Whether the marriage we will have, I'm sorry, whether the marriage will have as much stamina is an entirely different matter. I forgot how well he writes.
Half of all marriages end in divorce statistics, eh?
Oh,
which means half the wedding receptions turn out to be nothing more than a nice party with one very overdressed woman in attendance.
I've been to more than my share. I've seen plump brides, skinny grooms,
and mothers of the bride who wish they weren't.
I've also seen a groom faint right there at the altar, which I thought was an interesting role reversal. Maybe he was trying to tell us something. The marriage didn't last.
On occasion, I've even taken part. Once as an usher, I had to wear a ruffled tuxedo shirt, a shade of pistachio ice cream. I remind my sister-in-law of this every time we're together.
I also read from the scriptures at a friend's wedding long ago, after which the father of the groom came up and asked if I had written the lovely passage I just read. I was going to lie and say yes, but thought better of it. I confess it was written by a much better writer than I.
Thousands upon thousands of couples this month will walk down the aisle, out the church door, and into an uncertain future. Perhaps never more uncertain than right now. The world is a mess.
Since September 11th, I've tried going about my business as usual. I walk the dog, eat breakfast, walk the dog, eat dinner, walk the dog again. I thought the walk the dog therapy was working.
Then just last week on the front page of USA Today, I read this story about the possibility of catastrophic nuclear war between India and Pakistan. Beyond the mind-numbing casualties, it said the war would decimate the economies of both nations, send millions of refugees fleeing, and trigger a collapse of the world financial markets that could spur a worldwide depression. Not exactly the news I needed with my Special K and orange juice.
So what are we supposed to do with this summer of heightened terrorist alerts and nuclear threats? Sit in our gardens and wait for the world to end? Are we supposed to panic? Or party like there's no tomorrow? Studies show Americans are drinking more since 9/11.
Hello.
At least no one can say we don't have an excuse this time around.
Let me take this opportunity to remind each and every one of you, you're listening to this wonderful little column known as The Final Word.
By Craig Wilson.
I went to a young neighbor's first communion the other day. And despite all the shenanigans going on in the Catholic Church at present,
I'm amazed you didn't burst into flames when you left through the door.
It was nice to see little girls in white dresses going down the aisle to receive communion for the first time.
And it was nice 2 weeks ago to see a bit older girl in a white dress go down the aisle on the arm of her father, believing against all odds that the best days are still ahead.
I hope she's right.
Thank you, Gregory.
So he's cracking up.
Yeah, he's losing it.
He's really falling apart.
Walk the dog, eat Special K. Walk the dog, eat dinner. Walk the dog.
God.
All right, that's Craig Wilson.
Gregory Wilson, there he is,
from USA Today. Now, the one that he wrote last week.
Oh, man.
The one he wrote last week. You know, we're running late today, or I double up. Because the one he wrote last week was about being in Paris and his love of shoes.
That is an absolute, I mean, it's a slam dunk awesome one.
You know what? I'm going to write it down right now on my show prep thing for tomorrow.
Uh-huh. A bonus Craig Wilson?
You're going to get an extra Craig Wilson tomorrow.
Wow.
The one that was missed while we were on hiatus.
Yeah, he probably knew you were on hiatus. That's why he wrote it.
Okay, so let me write that down. Well, you know, we're going to have a lot tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're going to have Robert the Angry Mailman with his KKK porno.
Right.
We're going to have Shaquille O'Neal and Dennis Rodman doing the Shaq and Dennis show. We'll be reviewing the Shaq press conference tonight.
Right.
We'll be playing the Big Lie to give away $500.
Wow. Hope Mike doesn't play.
Big Lie, $500 for Father's Day. And you're going to get a bonus Craig Wilson.
Yeah. One of the better ones that I've ever seen. I think you'll enjoy it.
Oh, and I'm sorry. Of course, tomorrow, Mr. Skin as well.
A live version of Mr. Skin. He's going to visit with us.
All right, tomorrow's going to be jam-packed. Like today wasn't. Let's go to the news cubicle right now. There he is.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
Bareboten,
one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's Buzz.
He made it up.
And Buzz, your lead story today is...
Today, the first real lead in the Utah missing girl case.
Have anything to do with that guy on the website?
It might be him. I don't know his name.
Send us the stuff.
Might be him.
We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Mike Show, that was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
WKFK.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Mike Show.
Wait. You know, I know we're trying to get the lottery numbers straight, but that was a mess.
Yeah, well, we'll just dial it in. Start, take a deep breath, start all over again.
Okay. Right. Here we go. Let's all pretend that never happened.
Good. Here we go.
That mess. Here we go. Now we're coming out of commercials. End of commercials.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
There you go. See that?
Providing a daily four-hour radio stink face. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, that's smooth.
How you doing, Head?
Smooth is a big piece of
fun. Now remember, don't count days. Count shows.
Right.
All right. I have a new lottery number for you in a minute.
We're going to modify our lottery number.
Here now is Buzz with news. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Well, Utah police are searching for a 26-year-old man named Brett Edmonds in connection with the disappearance of Elizabeth Smart. They think Edmonds may have information about the missing 14-year-old girl. Police say they just want to talk to Edmonds. They say he's not, at this time, considered a suspect. He may have been seen in the area around the time Elizabeth disappeared. Authorities say Edmonds has been known to be violent with police officers, so they do consider him dangerous. He's believed to be living out of his car. Elizabeth Smart was taken at gunpoint from a bedroom in her family's million-dollar Salt Lake City home more than 1 week ago.
Sucks. That's the worst.
Yeah, it is. Guns were drawn at a funeral home in Missouri last night where John Gotti's son faced off with federal prison guards. Peter Gotti wanted his dad shipped back to New York. His funeral arrangements were made. But the Federal Bureau of Prisons insisted the body be embalmed in Missouri first. I want my dad. You don't have to prep him. We have a funeral home in New York. They'll dress him, said Peter.
Pete, listen, I'm handling the details.
That's amazing. This is an amazing story.
Stay out of this, Pete.
To which an officer answered, he's still in federal custody. And then the officers ordered the unarmed Gotti to leave, and they made that order at gunpoint. Word is, the body will be released later today at the earliest.
Pete, listen, it's me, your brother Donnie. Donnie Gotti.
Have you gotten the DNA test back yet?
No, but I'm going on the assumption that I am, in fact, the illegitimate son of John Gotti.
Trying to calm everybody down. Yeah.
Please, you've heard my eulogy. Mm-hmm. I'm handling it.
You'll do it.
Right. I'm holding the family together.
You're in charge. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, Mike. And I want you there at my side.
I'll be the hero.
Hey.
Paul Bearer.
Forget about it.
Philadelphia is taking steps to make sure its police officers don't roast another canine. Last month, a 5-year-old German Shepherd died after his handler left him in the cruiser. The temperature was only in the upper 80s that day, but it got much hotter inside the car.
Hot enough to fry an egg on the sidewalk?
Hot enough to fry a dog's brain.
How many times have we heard that goddamn ad?
Amen.
Now, the city's equipping its canine cars with a sensor that automatically rolls down the window when the interior temperature hits 88 degrees.
Yeah, makes a great sound. It goes like this.
Well, it doesn't have a siren, in fact. The new system will also set off the cruiser's siren.
Crest!
It'll cost about $400 a car, but once again, the bill is being paid by the same man who has already donated bulletproof vests for Philadelphia's police dogs.
That's shows, not days, right?
I believe that's our lottery number is back.
All right, beautiful.
We have a new lottery number.
We have a new lottery number. Your old tickets.
Write this down.
Today's Donna Mike lottery number is 2-9-4.
Love it.
No shoes, no shirt, no dice.
Lottery number 294.
294.
Lottery numbers, copyrighted feature.
Potassium iodide pills are selling like crazy around the Indian Point nuclear power plant in Westchester County, New York. Pharmacies are running out of the anti-nuclear pills, but there are at least 20 listings for the pills on eBay as well.
How do you get an anti-nuclear pill?
Potassium iodide floods the thyroid gland to keep radioactive iodine from getting in, protecting a person from some but not all of the effects of radiation. Now, the pills have been selling quickly since September 11th, and even more so since the reports this past week of a plan to set off a bomb in the U.S. made from radioactive waste.
That sounds hinky to me. That sounds like Elvis's deodorant pills.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems to me if someone's going to drop a nuclear bomb, you're not going to be okay because you're taking a pill.
No. Yeah, it's like after I took that whole bottle of penis enlarging pills. You know, there's like sugar capsules.
But now you glow in the dark.
I do indeed.
A convention of Southern Baptists may not sound like an exciting event, but the one underway in St. Louis this week is... Yesterday, the president of the conference was on the podium condemning homosexuality while gay rights protesters marched through the convention hall shouting slogans.
Rob's B-Wack!
We're queer!
A dozen protesters were arrested and dozens of others were taken into custody by riot police outside the hall.
We're queer!
the Reverend James Merritt was saying...
We're going to Graceland.
The Reverend James Merritt was saying that Southern Baptists have a biblical responsibility to preach against sin.
What did the Reverend James Capers have to say?
I don't think he was there.
Okay.
Noting that gay rights protesters have told him they're not going away, Merritt said, well, I've got news for the pornographer, the adulterer, the homosexual, the pedophile, the abortionist. We're not going away either. It was a day for influencing people, but
amazing,
not for making friends. The Southern Baptist Convention has also upset Muslims in this country. Last night, the Reverend Jerry Vines said many of this country's problems can be blamed on the multitude of religions here.
His brother's pretty good, though.
Greg Vines?
Grapevine.
Grapevines.
Grape buzz.
And specifically, the Reverend Jerry Vines said that Islamic beliefs are...
Is it Vine or Fine?
It's Vines, Vines. And I Vines. Thought you said Greg. I didn't hear you correctly saying grape.
Vines.
Yes. Vines.
America's Vines.
Yeah, okay. That's at the McCartney wedding.
Yeah.
Specifically, the Reverend Vines...
Only have many.
I know, only have... You can't get by the leg, can you, Rob?
Yeah.
Ever.
Reverend Vines said that Islamic beliefs are, quote, not as good as Christianity. He called the Islamic founder, the Prophet Muhammad, a demon-possessed pedophile who had 12 wives, end quote. He said there's no parallel between Allah and Jehovah. Quoting again, Jehovah's not going to turn you into a terrorist that'll try to bomb people.
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
No, nobody burns crosses in people's yards anymore, do they?
That looks great.
They do. In Alexandria, Louisiana, a man admits he burned one in his neighbor's yard to scare them. Paul Kay says he built and set fire to the cross because his white neighbors had invited black friends to their home.
Oh, my God.
He says he thought the burning cross might scare them into not associating with black people.
How about we burn his house down?
He now faces 10 years in prison.
Hey, you're not having him over, are you, again?
And in rural Alabama, it isn't clear why a black man was brutally attacked and dragged behind a truck early Sunday morning of this week. That man survived despite the dragging and the brutality that preceded it. Police say the attackers forced an undetermined object into the man in an act of sexual torture, if you get my drift.
Ugh.
Police say the man who's being treated at a Tuscaloosa hospital hasn't been able to give them much useful information so far.
Jesus
Hey,
Christ.
Thanks, Don and Mike. A stellar job today, I might add. And more than half the American people have at least some anti-Semitic feelings. That's the conclusion.
Hi there.
The conclusion is...
I'm featured in the news.
It's
today.
Hate and Prejudice Day on the news. This is the conclusion of a new study by the Anti-Defamation League. Its survey shows that 17% of Americans have hardcore anti-Semitic views. 35% fell into the middle category with some faintly prejudiced views. That just leaves 48% of the country with no particular anti-Jewish prejudice. In fact, the number of folks with hardcore prejudice is actually up a bit from the last survey 4 years ago. The results are gathered from questions such as, do you believe Jews have too much power in the United States?
I can't think of a day his name shot has been played more during the news.
Yeah, I've never seen a newscast where it was played this many times and played well.
This will be cheerier, thank goodness. It's one of those things you would have paid to see. In fact, it was all detailed in today's gossip columns, a catfight between Joan Rivers and Calvin Klein. Klein was at an AIDS fundraiser at the Cannes Film Festival along with Elton John and Liz Taylor. When Joan and Melissa Rivers stopped by his table to say hi, Klein, who'd been barbed by Joan before and who'd also been drinking, said, you're nothing but an old sea.
He used a C word?
Yes, he did. And he went on to say, and your daughter's an even uglier C.
Hey, good for him.
Wow.
At that point, Klein got up from the table, tripped over a chair, and fell. Joan Rivers tells the New York Post it's all true, but she says she helped pick him up and that everyone apologized and made nice.
So about her, she admits that she's an old C?
She, I guess, didn't dispute that fact, no.
All right, time out there, Buzz.
Very good.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
This broadcast, wrong time, dear. Don, dear, and Mike, dear.
Yeah,
Buzz.
Hi, Buzz.
I'm Don and Mike. In Ann Arbor, Michigan, a guy had a heart attack while getting a lap dance. So now officials want to know why it took so long for the club to dial 911. The delay was reported to be somewhere between 45 minutes and 2 hours.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
How sad is that? Police say they're hearing it's because the club needed time to clean up some evidence of drug dealing and prostitution.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
The name of the 45-year-old customer hasn't been released because police say his family doesn't know the circumstances of his death.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio.
Sorry, Darlene.
There he is. The bar reportedly has surveillance cameras and strobe lights to warn customers and employees about the arrival of police. The cops are now trying to get hold of those surveillance tapes. There are also cameras in the lap dance rooms. You may want to remember that.
No, you may want to remember that.
I, believe me, I will. Wouldn't it be great if a team...
Not me.
Wouldn't it be great... You'll forget. Wouldn't it be great if a TV network could be fined for running dumb shows? In England, it could happen. The British government says...
This is CBS.
No, the British government says it may fine the BBC for running dumb shows.
Oh, bollocks.
The government connected BBC is finding it harder to compete with the privately owned TV networks that now exist in Britain.
So
the BBC has been talking about dumbing down its shows.
BBC, I'm Pat Goss.
The smashing baby.
The privately owned networks say fining the BBC will level the playing field since they are watched by the government. They say more closely.
Oh, groovy, baby.
BBC, Fingalzine.
That Bose makes some good speakers, but they're a little pricey, which I'm sure was what concerned Demetrius Houston of Tallahassee, Florida. Demetrius is a resourceful 31-year-old, though. Police say he started printing his own barcodes and slapping them on the stuff he wanted to buy at Sam's Club, which mostly was $12,000 to $15,000 worth of Bose speakers. Police say Demetrius gave himself a 93% discount on the speakers by making his own barcode stickers on his home computer.
Wow.
Sam's Club is part of Walmart, and Walmart's seen this barcode scam once before, used by some folks who used it last year to buy a lot of baby formula, which they'd hoped to resell at the usual price.
Do you call it criminal? I call it...
enterprising.
Resourceful. Thank you.
You're welcome. If it smells a little like fish at a strip joint in Ottawa, blame one of the women who doesn't work there anymore.
See you in Toledo, yeah. You stupid whore.
You.
Fanny's Cabaret had to be closed for cleaning the other day after a fired server came back for revenge. She brought with her bags of tuna, which she spread around the coat check, the tables, the chairs, and the walls, even in the VIP rooms. Then she emptied two cans of pepper spray near the bar. Nobody got hurt, but the club closed for 5 hours so it could be steam cleaned.
I'd like to look at the new lady.
5 hours.
The former employee is now in police custody.
Yeah, it's okay now.
Yeah. Come on in.
Tuna and pepper spray and the normal, you know, stripper smells.
Sure.
Come on in.
5 hours.
Open for business.
Yeah, bugs lead the tuna.
You know, it usually happens at the worst possible moment. Big chunk of dried earwax falls out of your ear, or your wife starts yanking at an errant ear hair. Justin Letlow of Bend, Oregon is here to save the day.
Where do you get these names? You're not making that up.
No, Justin Letlow. That's his name.
Justin Letlow of Bend, Oregon.
That's right. He's invented an ear mirror so people can carefully examine, clean, and groom their ears. The device fits on the ear and uses a set of dual dental mirrors so you can see every nook and cranny. Quoting Letlow, I can't think how many times I've been watching a game on TV and they zoom in on the coach and here's this big old piece of earwax.
Oh, Letlow?
In sports, Phil Jackson, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, and the rest of the Los Angeles Lakers can wrap up their third straight NBA title tonight. The Lakers...
That's right, Buzz. Hey, okay, bud.
The Lakers...
This is Shaq.
Shaq.
This is Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman.
How you doing, Dennis? I'm doing all right, Shaq. How are you? Yo, hey, thank you, but you've been upstairs with me. You were similar comment. I'm wearing my cat in a hat. I just got baited.
More Shaq and Dennis tomorrow. The Lakers lead the Nets 3-0 in this evening's game is in New Jersey. And the Miami Dolphins have signed former...
Dickory, Dickory, Doc. This chick was...
Hey.
Sorry, Rob.
The Miami Dolphins have signed former Pro Bowler Rob Burnett. The defensive end is a 12-year veteran who was cut by Baltimore last March.
Yeah, it's funny the way you said Pro Bowler.
Yeah, you know. What
kind of sounded like a bowler. He's a bowler.
Yeah. Pro Bowler.
On the tour.
Pro Bowler.
And finally, in Detroit last weekend, a 29-year-old man from Taiwan castrated another man. He did so at the other man's request. In fact, the Taiwanese citizen says he's done at least four dozen castrations.
We have tape of the request when he was asking her.
Very
insistent.
And like that, it's over and he hands him back his berry.
Detroit police wouldn't have discovered any of this if the two men... not a real doctor.
They are having the toughest time getting those on.
Now it's off.
There.
Look at those things. Yeah, oh, it's being collected by the Asian concubine. Police in Detroit say they wouldn't have discovered any of this about the castrations if these two men hadn't shared a piece of pie after the home surgery.
Oh.
The men apparently started laughing, which is when the patient started bleeding profusely from laughing so hard.
Oh, dear.
Hey, you cut my day off. You want some pie?
Yeah, let's eat blueberry pie.
Quoting a detective, I can't even imagine this. It's bewildering to me. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No! Thanks for your great phone call today. Thank you for your support. Tomorrow with the all-new episode, Good Day to You, Sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. So long, and toodaloo. Ask.
When we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.